J-Tech Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's America's favorite game show podcast. Tell them what they've won. And now, here are your hosts, Tom Bastek and Mike Jacobs.
Hello and welcome in. It's America's favorite game show podcast. Tell them what they've won. We're the game show guys and your hosts. I'm Tom Bastek.
I'm Mike Jacobs. Hello, Tom. Good week to you.
And I guess we're your hosts first and then we're also the game show guys. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Like, our primary role here is host. Our title is game show guys. So yeah, I think that's fair.
By the time we finish this podcast, I will have our introduction down.
Well, you know, it's a living document. Let's go with that.
It's a work in progress.
There you
go. It certainly is. How are you this week, Michael? What's going on in your world, man?
Well, I'm, all right, but I do have to start this episode on a down note. Unfortunately,
oh, no. Did your chimichanga fall out of the package on the way home and you couldn't eat it?
Okay, so first of all, chimichangas come on a plate. If you're getting chimichangas...
Not when you're getting them from Taco Bell. They're wrapped up.
Nobody's getting chimichangas from Taco Bell.
That's my point. Nobody's getting chimichangas, period.
I don't know what this whole anti-chimichanga thing is. But if you go to a Mexican restaurant, you get a legit chimichanga with like the chocolate,
with the cheese on the top and everything.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good. Choice.
Yeah, it is good. I'm a poblano pepper, like stuffed poblano pepper.
Ooh.
Guy when I go to the fancy restaurants.
That's good
Those
stuff.
Are so good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Enough of the chimichangas. All right, so you're starting on a bad note. Go ahead. Dish the news.
I love that the audience only heard half of that chimichanga conversation. So they're like, what is going on?
Yes, there was a whole nother piece of that chimichanga conversation off the air, but that's fine.
Anyways. it is with a heavy heart that I have to announce I will not be participating in the Southern Fried Gaming Expo as we have been promoting for the past couple weeks here. Unfortunately, with Georgia being in the position it is with the low vaccination numbers and the Delta variant spreading as it is, even though I am vaccinated, as I have mentioned on the show, I live in an immunocompromised household. And
yes.
Per doctor's recommendation, we basically have to treat my wife as if she is unvaccinated. The chance, however low it may be, that I could... bring it home unknowingly and pass it on, does not feel worth it to me, to take that risk. I will not be participating in the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which unfortunately also means that our game show, must be canceled. We have already talked with the team involved there. And, I would like to offer my apologies, but I feel like that would be disingenuous because really the apologies need to come from the people who are choosing to not get vaccinated. And we tend to steer away from politics on this podcast. We don't want to upset anyone on either side. We are a politics neutral podcast, but in this case, the idea of being against the vaccination is simply based on misinformation. And I will personally go out and say that those of you who are choosing to not get vaccinated are making the wrong choice and are making things more difficult for the rest of us. So please get vaccinated. We need to up these numbers. We need to get rid of this thing so that life can return to normal. I know a lot of people want it to return to normal, and for a lot of people it has. But please remember that it is not for everybody, and do your part to help those of us who are at higher risk.
Yeah. And I will say that I will still be there. I will not be in I will be there in a different capacity. I have always been helping out at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. And although I live in an immunocompromised home, it is not the the level of immunocompromise that Mike's wife is dealing with right now. So I will say that I am going to be there. I will be masked, but I'm going to be hosting some of the different events they've got. And we will I'll be around. So come find me. You'll hear my voice booming throughout the convention. I'll be there all weekend. But we will not be broadcasting live for our 50th episode then, and we will not be doing the game show. However, we are still giving away a pair of tickets.
Yes, indeed.
To the Southern Fried Gaming Expo.
Our contest is not ending. So
no.
You can still get tickets if you're here in Atlanta or want to come to Atlanta.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, it's still a free weekend pass to a super awesome convention, which, like I say, I don't want to scare people away from just because I'm not going. I am in a
right.
unique position.
Correct.
And if you are vaccinated and comfortable, please, by all means, go. It is they are doing their due diligence there to make sure it is a safe
yeah.
and friendly environment for all.
Yeah, no, and it's gonna be safe. They're really taking all the precautions that they possibly can. I think actually a couple of the guys that help run the thing work for the CDC actually, so you know they're really on top of what's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, unfortunately we won't be there, guys. But don't worry, once this thing gets we get to kick COVID's butt, then I think we'll be Mike and I'll be able to make some appearances out in public. I will say, just in case you're wondering, right now, and this is as of August 1st, Georgia's at about 38% fully vaccinated. 42% of the people have approximately one shot so far, and the Delta variant is up over 200% over this time last month.
Yeah.
So that's why Mike's doctor is making the recommendations to him and his family that they are. So that being said, that's the knowledge that we're based on, and that's what we believe. If you have different beliefs, God bless you for it. But unfortunately, we had to make the decision that we will not be attending as the wonderful podcast, America's Favorite Game Show, Tell Them What They've Won.
Yep. It sinks my heart every time we talk about this. But next year, I'm banking on next year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, the good news is that news has not gone away and it will be happening.
Yes. I mean, that happens remotely. So, you know, who cares about worldwide plagues?
By the way, it's been happening remotely ever since day one.
Right. Exactly. It's the only way it can happen.
That's absolutely right. Let's go to the news right now. Let's talk to Christian.
Light up your cigarette, crack open a beer, put the kiddos to bed. From chaos around the world to carnage in your very own front yard, it's time for the news.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike. This is the news brought to you by BuzzerBlog.com. Not a whole lot happening in game show news this week, but I figure I would take the time to mention that if you're into being a game show contestant, if that's something you want to do this year, a lot of shows are picking back up in production since... You know, COVID's not over, the pandemic's not over, but definitely some shows that were not in production last year are going to be doing so this year. BuzzerBlog.com has all the casting information for a lot of new GSN shows, some of them untitled. So there's one show that's looking for a team of three that has something to do with general knowledge that doesn't have a title just yet. We also have Tug of Words that we talked about last week, hosted by Ahmad Rashad. Little word games for, and all of these, of course, for the chance to win huge cash and prizes. So if you're interested, you or your friends, because again, some of these are team games, interested in becoming a game show contestant, BuzzerBlog.com has all the info you need. We also, you know, a couple years ago, we interviewed a lot of people who had been contestants on several game shows, and we put together an article comprised of their advice called How to Get on a Game Show. So that is at BuzzerBlog.com as well. If you're interested in getting some advice on this journey, I think I'm included in that article. I don't remember. I think I might have been.
I think that we should definitely, the three of us, go for the team of three general knowledge category thing.
Oh, we would kick ass.
I was going to say, that sounded like something that would be up our alley. We need to get vaccine rates up first, though.
Yes, we do. All right. Well, Christian, that being said with news, thank you very much. How about this week in game show history?
Well, this week in game show history, we are going back to August 13th, 1979. Now, this is the premiere of a show, a pretty obscure show, actually, produced by Mark Goodson, you know, Price is Right, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, Password, all those yeah. classics. He said in an interview with David Letterman once that for every hit show that he has, every hit game, there are like five that don't work. And this was definitely one of them. So this was a show.
That's still a pretty good number. Like, that's 20%.
I mean, it's a solid success rate. It really,
yeah.
really is.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you consider the success of the big shows. Yeah. But yeah, this is a more obscure one. So this one is called Mind Readers. So Mind Readers was a game that had to do with ESP. Mark Goodson had this fascination with ESP and isolation booths and predicting what somebody else would say. And you see elements of it in a lot of shows. You see it in Family Feud. You see it in Match Game. You see it in a lot of games that premiered around this time, because ESP was a sort of fad around this time. So Mind Readers had two teams of contestants. Each one had a celebrity captain. And the crux of the game essentially is that you're trying to predict how a person would answer a question like, do you find tight jeans attractive? Yes or no? It's all yes or no questions, or at least questions, you know, with two choices. And there was money given out depending on how well you predicted, you know, how the other team would answer. There was a bonus game that involved like 10 people from the studio audience, and you'd have to predict what they would. It was a fun show. Again, not really successful. A lot of that having to do, in my opinion, with the host. So the host was a guy named Dick Martin from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Oh, this was at this point the second game show he hosted. He had hosted an earlier comedy-based thing called The Cheap Show. And so this was his second entry into that world. And so somebody who watched the show with me once described it as hosting at gunpoint. There's this where he never really got comfortable hosting the show, and you can tell, you know, you could see the tightness and you can see the nerves and you can see, you know, that it's just not his comfort zone. And I think he agreed with that. So the show only lasted a season. It's funny, after this, he was on Match Game, and while the contestants were writing their answers, Gene Rayburn came to Dick Martin and said, "Hey, that show you hosted, The Cheap Show, is that still on?" And Dick Martin said, "Well, I hope not." So, Mind Readers this week in game show history.
To answer the question, only when I wear them.
I would have won money on that. That's exactly what I predicted.
I lost, but that's okay.
Mike, the question was, do you find tight jeans attractive?
Oh, right.
All right. Speaking of games, it's time for Stump or Chop. Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I think maybe I have a slow pitch for old Christian this week, but this is a thing that I discovered while researching the show this week, and it's not actually about this show, so I couldn't work it into the show, so I just wanted to bring it up here. Christian, what is the only game show that can be seen nationally in the U.S. every decade since the 1950s?
Wow.
Has not missed a single decade since the 50s.
The only game show that hasn't missed a decade since the 1950s.
Correct. To be seen nationally in the U.S. in every decade since the 1950s.
So there were a few that came close. Concentration you could see in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. In original episodes, and even some people might consider that a technicality, because Classic Concentration isn't necessarily the same show. Anyway, you have a show like Concentration, you have What's My Line that was on 50s, 60s, 70s, never had a version after the 70s. They tried it back in the early 2000s, and it never sold. They actually picked Survivor over a new What's My Line, which was probably a good decision.
Yeah.
But there's one show in particular that I can think of, and now that I'm thinking of it, I think this is most definitely the answer. So, and it's had a lot of hosts. It's had a lot of hosts and a lot of substitute hosts. I am going to make my official answer for this question, the game show that can be seen in every decade since the 50s, To Tell the Truth.
Incorrect. The correct answer is The Price is Right.
Yes.
The Price is Right.
Yes.
Hold on a minute.
Wait, is it the dilation of the eyes that got you this week? Is that what it is?
It may have been. All right, no, so listen, because I have a beef with this question. So, to tell the truth. Started in 1956 on CBS. Correct. Went until 1968 total.
Okay.
Then you had a syndicated version that started in 1969 and went until 1977.
All right, so that's 50s, 60s, and 70s.
50s
got
and
it.
70s. Then you had another syndicated from 1980 to 1981.
There's 80s.
So we're covered in the 80s. Then you had another version on NBC Daytime, hosted by a bunch of people, but that was from 1990 to 1991. Uh-huh. So we're covered in the 90s. And then you had another syndicated one hosted by John O'Hurley in the early 2000s. And now we have To Tell the Truth on ABC that started in 2016. And that's
which
still
covers
on.
The 10s and the 20s because it comes
indeed
this year.
It
so
does.
If right. So if I'm not mistaken,
so there's
no, yeah,
there's more than one answer to
two
that.
Two answers.
Yeah, there are absolutely two answers. I got it right here on Wikipedia. He's absolutely correct.
Wow.
Damn, I'm good.
Wow. All right, so, yeah. I mean.
Right. There
that,
it is.
That's.
That, nice try, everyone. Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? Price is Right is still correct, so.
It is definitely, yeah. I mean, we've had a Price is Right every decade since the 50s. Much different formats between the two versions, but you can still find the Price is Right on TV.
I just want to say I feel fulfilled for that 5 to 10 seconds that I thought we had you.
You seem genuinely excited by it. I almost felt bad that I had to deflate that. But
well, I'm glad you set it straight. All right, Christian, this week our show is Chain Reaction. And your thoughts?
I love Chain Reaction. Again, I feel like we've mentioned it several times, but I think that Mike and I have this in common that I love word games. And so anything related to words and letters and putting letters together is just right in my wheelhouse. So Chain Reaction is so addictive, such an addictive show. You know, talk about a game that you can play just by looking at the TV. You don't even need sound on the TV. You just need to... You know, just the invitation of seeing the blank puzzle there just invites me to, like, play around with that puzzle and solve it. And I feel like that is a quality of a really good game show. So, yeah, huge, huge, huge Chain Reaction fan.
What, this is a thing that we discuss a little later on. What do you feel about how sometimes in earlier episodes it's not literally a two-word phrase, but rather word association? Do you think that's a, an addition or subtraction to the overall experience of the game?
I kind of like that. You know, the idea that this game came from the mind of Bob Stewart, who created, like, the $10,000 pyramid, you can almost see how this idea, you know, when you play it that way, when you play it as a word association game and not necessarily, you know, completely two-word phrases, you could see how it comes from the idea of pyramid, almost like a variant of that game. And it sort of lets you use a different part of your brain. I mean, you almost use the Wheel of Fortune side of your brain when it's a two-word phrase and you have, like, the first two letters of the second word. But when the word is showers and the second word might be L, you know, maybe it's loofah. Maybe it's, right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole different, so it kind of makes you think laterally. I agree. But I have no preference one over the other. I just think it's really cool the way they
I love
do
that
it.
You have, I think we all do, a Wheel of Fortune part of our brain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, anything, and so any word with letters missing, I will fill it in. that's my thing. Anagrams and all of that, man. I love it.
Oh, it sounds like something we all need therapy for. Why is it, Mr. Bastek, that you're filling in these letters?
You know? Probably, yeah. Well, my father.
Exactly. All right, well, how about a plug for Buzzer Blog?
Of course, BuzzerBlog.com, the number one game show website in the world. Whether you're looking for information on new series, returning series, casting, for all these new game shows that we are going to have the pleasure of seeing within the next year or so, BuzzerBlog.com is the place to go. Whether you're an industry insider, a casual fan, or a diehard game show junkie like the three of us, BuzzerBlog.com.
Thanks, Christian. Hey, gang, this kind of just in. After we recorded news last night, we had some developing news, so I wanted to get Christian back on the line. Christian, take it away.
Of course. Thank you, Tom. Well, the search for a permanent host of Jeopardy may finally be over. Variety Today is reporting that Mike Richards, the executive producer of Jeopardy and of Wheel of Fortune, who just became executive producer last year, is in advanced negotiations to become the permanent host of Jeopardy. So this is, you know, a lot of people are saying this was expected. A lot of people are saying he's the safest choice. I have my opinions that I'll get into in a minute. He did have a chance to host the show right after Ken Jennings back in February, and he apparently impressed a lot of people at Sony with his command of the game, with his on-air demeanor, and he impressed a lot of people on Twitter, too. I seem to remember that there was this groundswell of support for him after he had premiered as guest host that a lot of the other hosts didn't have. I mean, the opinions of the Jeopardy hosts have been, you know, it's become a pastime at this point to speculate and judge and compare and contrast. But he had a really strong, he made a very strong first impression. And so I think that that, in the minds of the people in charge, probably put him ahead of a lot of other people who got a chance to guest host. Now, a Sony Pictures spokesperson said discussions were ongoing with several potential candidates at this point. He would not comment specifically on Richard's status, but a source close to the situation cautioned that there's no certainty that the sides will close a deal and that other candidates remain in the mix, although Richard's is clearly the front runner at this point. You know, probably, you know, we'd probably do well to get a little tail of the tape here. So Mike Richards, out of all the guest hosts, is the only one with hard game show hosting experience. So he hosted the $100,000 Pyramid, which was just called the Pyramid on GSN. He's hosted right. Beauty and the Geek. He did Divided on GSN. So he you know, he's done this. And
he's been with the Jeopardy family for a while now.
He's been with them for about a year now. So Mike Richards originally was the producer of The Price is Right. He was the kind of guy backstage there. And right. He made the jump over to Sony and was given Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune to run. Remains to be seen what that's going to do for his role on Wheel of Fortune, if he'll remain as producer, if that's going to change at all. Maybe it doesn't have to. But that's what it's looking like right now. And of course, I'll give the same caution that the Variety article gives, which is it may not happen, but we are, for the first time this year, hearing some solid evidence that we are getting close to the end. White smoke will pour out of the chimney any day now.
So here's my feeling on this, and I definitely want your opinion on it. I think it's a safe choice for them because of the fact that he's been the executive producer for a year and he really knows the game inside and out. And he'll know if he makes a mistake before they know he makes a mistake. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think I've mentioned this previously, but being able to host Jeopardy is being an onstage producer. You have right. to have such a command, not only of the game and of the material, but everything going on around you. And who better to do that than the executive producer of the show? It only helps him a little bit that he happens to be a conventionally attractive man.
And,
you know, he's considerably younger than a lot of the people who were guest hosting the show for the past few months. Clearly not my dream choice, but at the same time, you know, it sort of forces you to look at the situation subjectively. I don't know. You know, I had my favorites, and I had people that I wanted to see do it. I had people that I didn't think would do a good job, and they did a great job, Aaron
right.
Rodgers in particular. But, right. you know, you look at the situation. So you look at the situation objectively. Which of those guest hosts did a fine enough job hosting the show that you would give them that show forever?
Well, and by the way, there's nothing that says it's forever. If I would think that Sony is smart right now, although they're thinking this could be the host for the next 20 or 25 years, they're also like, let's not put all our eggs in this basket. Remember, this is the guy following Alex Trebek.
Oh, sure. And when I say forever, I don't necessarily mean an eternity, but I mean he's going to be the permanent host of the show. I mean, that is a title change. You're going from this week's guest host to the host of Jeopardy, which is a huge deal.
Right. Now, two things that come to mind. One, there was always the speculation, and you and I and Mike had talked about this, that they already knew who they were going to pick before they even did any of this. And this was just kind of a nice, easy way to transition from Alex to the next host. Do you get that feeling here?
I do get the feeling that there was some orchestration. I mean, you look at the pattern of guest hosts. So you had Ken Jennings for the first month. In terms of Jeopardy viewership, there is no more comforting physical presence on that show than Ken Jennings. I mean, clearly second to Alex Trebek, but in his absence, he is the person that most viewers these days associate with the show. So, in retrospect, an inspired choice to be the first guest host, and to do that for a month, clearly some strategy there. Clearly, right. You know, we're easing viewers out of a tumultuous time and into a relatively uncertain future, and you want to do that and inspire some confidence in the people that are watching. Who better to do that than Ken Jennings?
Right.
You know, after that, you had a week or 2 weeks of Mike Richards, and again, I thought he was, how do I put that into words? He impressed me, like it said in the Variety article, he has a strong command of the game. He's not easily flappable. He was a good host, and I think that that's what the viewership needed after Ken Jennings, to get that guest host ball rolling. You probably want to start with your most solid choice, because again, you want to inspire confidence in that process. None of us have ever seen Jeopardy with a guest host before,
right?
You know, at that point. So I'm seeing a little bit of strategy here. This is all, of course, complete speculation, but
absolutely,
you know, I think it would make sense. I think it would make sense to ease the viewership back into seeing the show with a different host.
Right. So now the next question is, do you think that Sony's also seeing this as like, all right, this is a way for us to maybe save a little money? We've got our executive producer credential over here. We could just give them the hosting as well, and bada, bada, boom.
I mean, listen, they are a business at the end of the day, right? They're all about making money and doing that with the greatest efficiency possible. So, of course, it makes sense to hire from within. You know, and again, I just think that, and this is me sort of putting myself in the shoes of the people in charge, I don't know that any of the guest hosts were solid enough in their command of the game. And, you know, of course they had 2 weeks, a week in some cases. LeVar Burton in particular had a week to do this. But
sure.
None of them, in retrospect, seemed like a very solid, we're going to sign this guy or this woman for 5 years type of choice. It was novel to see Mayim Bialik host the show. I thought she did a great job. It was novel to see Dr. Oz. I thought he did a terrible job and he's a terrible person. But, you know, I think that this is the most economical choice for them in many ways, money being one of them. I guarantee they're getting a break on a guy like Mike Richards compared to Anderson Cooper or compared to Katie Couric.
Right. All right. Well, I would assume that we can stay tuned and hook up with BuzzerBlog either on Twitter or on the website, buzzerblog.com, for all the updates on this should anything come around before next week's show.
Of course, when anything changes, BuzzerBlog readers and Tell Them What They Won listeners will be the first to know. I guarantee it.
Thank you so much, Christian, for jumping on with us last minute. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Once again, if you've got a question for Stump or Chump, please send it in via the website, tellthemwhatthey'vewon.com, or on social, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Yeah.
I'm glad that you're active on there. I'm very much not a Twitter person.
Sure.
I remember years ago I signed up for Twitter with the idea of I would tweet every time I craved a cigarette, and that's how I would quit smoking. it did not work at all.
You just tweeted an awful lot.
Yeah, and then I would just go smoke anyways.
Right. So go smoke and listen to people just, you know, totally troll you afterwards.
Yeah. Update, successfully quit now, so there you go. Kids, don't smoke. It's impossible to stop.
Don't smoke. It's impossible to stop. I love it. See, there's the new anti-smoking campaign. All right, when we come back, we've got the gameplay of our featured show this week. Mike, chain reaction, your first thoughts.
I was not expecting much going into it, and I had a lot of fun watching this one.
All right, it's coming up next. You've been listening to America's favorite game show podcast, Tell Them What They've Won. And there it is, the theme song from Chain Reaction. That's the featured show this week on America's favorite game show podcast. Tell them what they've won. Everybody loves chimichangas. Michael.
I don't know about everybody, but I love chimichangas. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So the theme there and what we're talking about here, I decided we were all going to base on the original version of the show, which I'll talk a little bit more as to why when we get to it. It's not the longest lasting of the shows, probably not even the most well known, but I just fell in love with it, and so I really want to talk about it based on the original version.
Okay.
And the original rules basically stand true throughout all the different iterations. I'll talk about some differences later, but for the most part.
And I would say in history, you'll touch on all the different versions.
Yes.
Right?
I just mean the rules differences.
Okay, cool.
So anyways, the basic idea here is we have two teams of three contestants. One of them is the sort of civilian contestant, and two of them are celebrity guests that play along with them. I am using the term celebrity loosely because I did not recognize any of the people I saw, and I could not find.
But they're from a different generation too. It's the 1980s, Mike.
Right, that's true. I also could not find much on Google, but I also didn't know how to spell Aditi, whatever her last name was. I've forgotten now. clearly, I did not do a whole lot of research. So maybe I'm talking trash, and like I don't know, Frank Sinatra Jr. was on one, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways,
okay.
Point is, you got one contestant and two celebrities on each team. Six contestants total, which is a fair amount for, you know, a show. Then they reveal the board, which is a chain of eight or so. They change the amount of words throughout the years. But you get eight or so words with the first and the eighth word revealed. So you would see the top and bottom word of this however many word chain. I'm going to go over the rules real quick, and then I'm going to give an example. I'm going to give the example from Wikipedia.
Nice. That's great.
Yes.
Can I try to guess them?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, cool.
All right, so what's going to happen basically is that the teams are going to take turns revealing single letters in words. They rotate through the players. So in other words, it goes like team one, player one, team two, player one. Team one, player two. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got it.
So they go back
Got
and forth it. That way. And they basically choose where they want the single letter revealed. Do they want it to be the word that is under the topmost revealed word or above the bottommost revealed word?
And so, it's the first letter in the word.
Yes, or the next letter in the sequence.
Right, if the first one's already shown, the next
exactly.
letter that comes up.
They will not reveal the last letter. So I didn't actually see any instances where that came up, but I assume they just say, it's the last letter, we're not going to show it to you.
Right.
I would assume by that point you know what it is. Here's the example that we have laid out for us. I believe we have an eight-word chain here. It begins with twist and ends with chess. So now what you would say is you want the first letter of either the word after twist
or before chess.
Yes.
All right, I'll take the first letter of the word right above chess.
Okay, so your letter is S. So now you have an S above chess, and you know that the S is related, or that the word that begins with S is related to chess somehow. So as far as the strategy of figuring this out, I paused because I just inadvertently gave you the answer. So we'll just let you know that the next word up is strategy. And the idea here...
Oh, that's funny because I didn't know, but that's great.
That's fine. Again, we're just walking through example here.
Correct.
So the idea is strategy is related to chess.
It's
more of a word association in this case, right? Like
chess
has strategy to it. So you can see how those are connected, right?
All right. So I'll take the first letter of the word above strategy then.
Right. So W is your letter there.
Okay. So winning.
No. So now there's no penalty for getting it wrong.
Just lose your turn.
Exactly. We would just pass back over. So there's no reason to not, make a guess. So let's continue with this.
All right. So the second letter in the word W.
Right. So you get W-A.
W-A?
Theoretically, pretend you're the other team at this point.
Yeah, that's fine.
W-A.
and then the word is strategy below it.
Right. So you know it relates to strategy.
War.
That is correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So now you get the points for war. Most of the time it's, you know, amount of points or money on however many letters are in the word. Sometimes they would give a bonus where you get double points if there's a little plus sign next to the word.
Okay, cool.
Based on the positioning, war would likely have been a plus sign word. So theoretically, you may have gotten double points just then.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah. So the idea is this goes back and forth until one of the teams has accumulated a certain threshold of points. The original threshold was 50 points, and that team was then determined to be the winner of the round and would go on to the instant reaction bonus round.
So they didn't have to solve all eight words. They just had to get 50 points.
Correct. Now, the round would end... oh, no, I'm sorry. The round would end when the chain was filled up. So you would often go into multiple chains in order to get to those 50 points.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Filling the chain did not inherently end the round. You could fill the chain and not have 50 points.
Especially if it's only like war, because that's only three letters. So I could see how you could do that. You know?
Exactly. So then the idea there would be, if you're working from the other way, so in this same thing, let's say that over the course of the round, we've built up the chain and we now have... From the top, we have twist, ankle. So you twist your ankle. You have ankle bracelet, which I kind of take issue with that one. Because an ankle bracelet, that's an anklet. Let's get it together.
Well, I think before anklet was an actual word, I think it was an ankle bracelet. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. And then you have bracelet into chain. Okay, and then so from the bottom, you have chess into strategy into war. So that's what you have, right? So now you have that word in the middle, and you have two hints as to how to get to it, right? You know it relates to chain and it relates to war.
Chain and war. Prisoner?
Oh, that's close. So you would get your first letter, though. So that, let's say that guess doesn't count. So you get a G.
Oh, a G. So, okay. So and it's chain, word beginning with G, and then war. Gang.
Correct. Well done. So there you go. But you want to be careful when you get to that point, right? Because if you reveal the next letter and you don't know it, then you pass to the other team and they're probably going to get it. Obviously you got to play strategically to narrow down what the last word is and make sure that your opponent doesn't get it, all that kind of fun stuff.
Cool. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Now we're going to the instant reaction you were talking about.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm glad we clarified that. So the instant reaction is the bonus round, and man, I absolutely loved this. It is now up there with Video Power as best bonus round that exists, and maybe it's just because the episode I watched, they did such a good job with it. But Tom, post this episode up on the website.
Oh, I definitely will. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the idea here is that the two celebrities have to form a question that then the contestant has to get the answer to, which is the predetermined word. And the way they form this question is one word at a time. So celebrity number one says the first word. Celebrity number two says the second word. Celebrity number three says the third word. They go back and forth until they've formed a complete question. And then they buzz in and say, okay, we're done. And then the contestant has to answer as fast as they can. If anyone has ever seen short form improv, this is a very popular improv game where you have to compose sentences by talking back and forth.
And I have to tell you, Mike, it is not easy.
It is not easy
at
all.
Let's take a word that you just had there, gang, okay?
Okay, uh-huh.
And so now let's you and I try to form a question that will lead to them saying the word gang.
Okay.
You can go first.
What
is
a
word
for
a
group
of
thugs?
There it is. Yeah. But, dude, see how tough that is?
Yeah.
Because you knew where you were going. As soon as I said is, you were like, oh, that's not where I was going.
Yep. Exactly. And the
people that we saw on this knocked it out of the damn park.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like they do an incredible job because you have, like, you noticed we were stumbling to even think of a word, and we were thinking of like auxiliary words that maybe could have been eliminated. And you got to be doing this quick because the idea is you're trying to get as many of these as you can in a certain.
Yeah, and you've got like a minute and a half, and that's it, or something like that.
Yeah. And the way that they score it is kind of cool too. It starts off where the first one gets you $1, and then every two after that adds a zero to your point value. So by the third point, you've got 10. By the fifth, you've got 100. By the seventh, you've got 1,000. Right, so you can get up to 10,000 that way. And so, yeah, it's just a really cool way. And again, watching how good those people are, and like, it's just such a creative way of doing a bonus round. And it's so different than the main game, but still related to it. Like, it just, it felt so perfect as a bonus round to me.
I want to make a quick correction, at least on the episode that I saw, and that's the one I'm going to post online. The first question got them 1. The second question got them 10. The third question got them 100. The fourth question got them 1,000. Okay. Then they got 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, and then 10,000.
Yeah. Okay. So I noticed that as well. The adding a basically half a zero for everyone you got right. That's how Wikipedia described it. Yeah. So that might be a later thing in the USA or GSN versions.
And we're not going to, here's the thing, guys, if you want to figure out exactly how it's scored, watch a bunch of episodes of it, but we'll post the one up there that we saw and you'll see it. And it's just a unique and different way to do it.
Yeah. Like I say, I just love it. And it's still, like I say, it's very different from the main round, but still very much feels part of the same game. But like I said, there are variants throughout the years. The USA version, for a couple seasons, maybe just episodes, I wasn't exactly clear. But apparently for some amount of time, contestants played solo, which, you know, obviously the end round doesn't work like that. The USA version changed the way that the end round worked a little bit.
Sure.
And as did the GSN version. Basically, over time, the bonus round just turned into a speed round version of the main game. It felt a little more homogenized, which I guess fits the theme better, but it just was less interesting to me. In the GSN version, the words in the chain are always going to be a two-word phrase or a compound word. So like we had mentioned in our example that you know, strategy in chess was more of a word association thing, whereas, you know, chain gang is a compound word. When it went to GSN, they got rid of the word association thing and made it all compound words, which I imagine is a lot easier to play, but a lot harder to write.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the truth is now you can have computers do a lot of that work for you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I didn't think about that. There was also a speed chain round that sounded kind of cool, where they were given basically like a four-word chain and the middle two were missing. And they had, you know, some amount of time to like work together and try and figure out what two words were in there. And that was pretty cool. Initially, the bonus of the Game Show Network version was the same as the instant reaction of the original one. Like I say, over time, it just morphed into a timed version of the main game. The only reason why I have to imagine that is the case is because it's so difficult to do. As you saw in our example, like, we're improv people. We do this, you know, on a regular
basis. For a living.
Right. Well, not necessarily for a living, but on a regular basis. You know, it is not easy. And I can imagine there were probably a lot of instances in that first run of the GSN version where they did it that way, where people had failed spectacularly. So they just, it changes over the course of the various seasons.
It definitely makes me want to go back and watch a bunch of episodes to see how badly people failed.
Yeah, I want to find some specifically of that season because it was only the first season of the GSN version where they did it.
I'll have to look.
So
for
I want to try and find some of those and just see what happens.
Cool.
But yeah, that's the gameplay. Fairly simple, but like I say, I fell in love with it and. I didn't think I was going to. When I initially read the description of it, I was like, this is a word game, but I didn't like the word association versus, you know, the compound word or like, you know, things that necessarily followed each other. I'm glad they fixed that. But I don't know, something about just reading it did not get across what it was, especially with the idea of the instant reaction. I read it and I was like, oh, like that's like that improv game, but it's probably, you know, awkward. But then I watched that episode and I was like, I gasped as they were doing it. I was like, oh my God, they're doing so well.
I know.
It's awesome. I love
that. That is two brains working as one. It was amazing.
Yeah. So well on them as well for being that good at it.
Absolutely. And we'll once again put that up there on the website too, so check it out. All right. Well, that is gameplay. And coming up next, we've got history. And there's a decent amount of it, Mike.
There is. Quite the hefty crew behind the origination of this show.
It'll be good. We'll check it out next. It's coming up. You've been listening to America's Favorite Game Show Podcast. Tell them what they've won. And welcome back. It's segment 3 of episode 47. Our featured game this week is Chain Reaction. You've got the game show, guys. I'm Tom Bastick, along with my good friend, Mr. Mike Jacobs. Mike, history time.
History time. So Chain Reaction was created by a man by the name of Bob Stewart. Bob Stewart is a powerhouse in
a legend
in the game show industry. He has created To Tell the Truth, Password, The Price is Right, and the Pyramid series. Four of his shows are still airing as of this year, 2021. The only one that is not is Password. But yeah.
I think Password's scheduled to come back.
Well, there you go. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say second to none, but second to few in the game show world.
He would almost be the dean of game show creation.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the host is none other than the dean of game show host, Bill Cullen.
There it is.
The announcer is Johnny Gilbert.
Who could definitely be the dean of game show announcing.
100%. I mean, this is just a stacked cast, crew, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
A recipe for success if I've ever heard one. So we get kicked off on NBC January 14th, 1980. Despite that pedigree, it lasts less than a year. June 20th of 1980, it is canceled.
Dude, that's 6 months. So it got kicked off, and then it got kicked off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just, it came and gone so quick. So I wanted to look into this a bit, because how could you have Bob Stewart, Bill Cullen, and Johnny Gilbert on a show that lasts 6 months, right? I had a couple different theories, and there's one that's like, ultimately, yes, this is what happened. So my first theory is it was on at the noon time slot.
Which we have heard in the past with other shows that we've done, that that's kind of like a death time slot sometimes.
Well, and there's a couple reasons for that. The first being is, for this specific case, they were up against The Young and the Restless, which soap operas, this is an interesting thing that I don't think we've talked about much on the show before, but the sort of dynamic between soap operas and game shows, and how it's like, I feel like if you're watching daytime television shows, those are your only options, and I can't imagine there's actually a lot of competition between them, right? Like, is anybody turning off the game show for Young and the Restless? Is anybody turning off Young and the Restless for a game show? I feel like you know which one you're gonna watch no matter which one it's up against, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is that, you know, to me, the there's the drama of all of the, you know, soap operas, and then there's the high and happiness of all the game shows. So I think depending on the mood is what you're watching.
Right. Well, I think maybe the reason why I bring up specifically the fact that it's against Young and the Restless is that I feel like that maybe speaks to the power of that show, or maybe even soap operas in general, that a show of this pedigree struggled against a soap opera, right?
Yeah.
Those to me have always felt like, you know, sort of lower grade television programs to me, but, you know, they're not for me. So I can't say what their audience feels, you know? I don't know. It felt like an interesting dynamic between the two to me, that in my mind, I don't feel like they would have much to do with each other, but apparently they very much do. The other issue with the noon slot is that is when local stations typically interrupt the feed for local news.
Yeah.
So the original run was frequently preempted in many different markets. So a very uneven airing for the show, I think, maybe cause some trouble for it to get sort of locked in place. But number three, and really the thing you can point to and say, this is why it happened, David Letterman's 90-minute daytime talk show came along, and they just plowed through the schedule to make room for that. This is not the first time we've talked about this show, the Letterman show specifically, the daytime one.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's come up before because, like I said, NBC just absolutely raised their schedule to make room for it, and that's the RAZED raised, not RAISED. Anyways,
correct.
just had to clarify that. But it's interesting because, like, for as much as they did to make this show happen, I had never even heard of it before we started doing this show.
The David Letterman show you were referring?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I know Late Night with David Letterman, and I know he was right. a popular weatherman before that, but like I didn't know that he had this daytime show. And so I wanted to look into it a little bit of like how such a upset, or not upset, but such an upheaval was caused to get it out, and I'd never heard of it. Not that like I've heard of everything, but I'm, you know, I like my 80s television. I feel like I would have known at least through trivia or something that it existed. Apparently, it also did not even last an entire year. So in that sense, I think maybe hopefully the NBC execs kind of got a little bit of comeuppance that they took such drastic measures to make room for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Man.
I did find that the theme song was composed by Michael McDonald of Doobie Brothers fame. thankfully, there's no vocals.
Oh,
so, yeah,
I like Michael McDonald.
Oh, God. No, he ruined the Doobie Brothers. So, a quick sidetrack to our sidetrack. I recently listened to The Best of the Doobies, Volumes 1 and 2, back-to-back.
Okay.
And the difference in like quality of music is just staggering. The Doobie Brothers were phenomenal, and then Michael McDonald took over and they were just horse pucky awful. So there you have that.
There's a lot of people who disagree with you on that.
That's
so,
fine.
I mean,
that's fine.
I'm just letting you know.
I understand. I'm not a Michael McDonald fan. And so go listen to, we can post the video for this as well. There's like a little montage clip of David Letterman's stuff from that show. And it starts off with the theme song, and it sounds like a Michael McDonald song. It's very like 80s, that cheesy like synthesized saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what I thought was hilarious about that opening is that the sort of like lead line to introduce David Letterman is, ladies and gentlemen, the man that NBC canceled three game shows for, David Letterman.
How true is that?
I love they call it out, just lay it out on Front Street. Yep, we plowed through three game shows to make this show happen.
And then the show failed miserably and he went to Late Night. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And you got rid of Bob Stewart, Bill Cullen, and Johnny Gilbert to do it.
Yeah.
Then again, you know, you got David Letterman, so while that show was not successful, there's no way you can say Letterman was not. So what are you going to do?
I don't know.
But yeah, so that was the first run. Like we say, 6 months. The second version came to the USA Network. Good old USA Network. Helping everybody bring back beloved things from the past. September 29th, 1986 is when that one began. Mm-hmm. So it was hosted initially by a Canadian country music singer named Blake Emmons. I am not familiar with him. Country music is not my genre. Canada is not my country. A Canadian country music singer is about out of my wheelhouse as you can get. So,
okay.
He was later replaced by Jeff Edwards, who is a little more appropriate because he is a more established actor and game show host. He also substituted for Bill Cullen in the original version of the NBC back in the day.
Cool.
So he was a better replacement. I don't know how well or poorly Blake Emmons did, but I have to imagine that regardless of the reason for his replacement, Jeff Edwards was probably a clear, better host. Another interesting thing about this version is the announcer. This whole part I'm just going to butcher because it's got two of those OIS French endings of words.
Oh, Bois. So,
yeah, Bois. The man's last name is Rod. Well, his full name is Rod Charlebois.
Charlebois.
You get it. He was the announcer. He was a local Quebec. I knew I was not going to pronounce this name. Quebecois?
Yeah,
Person from Quebec.
As I'd say, a Quebecian, but go ahead.
Yes. I actually initially typed that in our notes, but I was like, I know it's not Quebecian. I know it's not Quebecois, but I didn't know how to pronounce it.
And you
I
just looked did it really up. Well.
That one was perfect. It is. Now that I'm trying to do it, I can't do it. But if you heard me say it really fast just then, that is actually how it's pronounced. Right. Anyways, person from Quebec. He is a radio personality. He was the announcer. He was given the role because apparently if you are an American show and you're taping in Canada, it is law that you have to have at least one Canadian personality on air.
Wow.
Right? What a neat law. So initially, obviously, Blake Emmons served that role as the Canadian country music singer. But when he was replaced by Jeff Edwards, Jeff Edwards is an American. So they had to. And I believe they already had Rod Charlebois as the co-host
announcer.
So it wasn't like they had to like quickly struggle and find somebody and give him the role. He had it from the beginning. But he ended up, I guess, he maintained that role and ended up being a legally required part of the cast. So there you go.
Interesting.
Canada and their wacky laws.
All right.
I should stop teasing Canada. We have a lot of Canadian listeners.
Yeah, we do. Ryan is not going to be happy with us.
Y'all know I'm just kidding. I love Canada. So this version runs until December 27th of 1991. That's a decent 5-year run considering the false start of the first one. I feel like, you know, you had such a high pedigree and a just quick doing away with the original one. The next version, obviously not as much pedigree behind it, but at least I feel like it got the airtime it deserved, especially for the gameplay that is behind all this.
Sure.
So yeah, 1991 is when that ends. And then we have quite a lull for some time. Game Show Network, of course, then being what it is, brings it back on August 1st of 2006. This version was hosted by Dylan Lane. So I kind of felt bad for this guy. His name in the Chain Reaction Wikipedia entry is a link. So I clicked on it to find out more about him. It is a link to the same Chain Reaction Game Show Wikipedia article.
Wow.
I did a lot of digging there. He is known for hosting Chain Reaction on Game Show Network.
Okay.
I found some other stuff that he did, but it's nothing of note. He's, you know, he does not have a very storied career.
All right, at least he's got one thing to his name. There you go.
He sure does, you know. But this version, it ran for two seasons. 2007 is when it ended, June 9th specifically. So better than the first iteration, I suppose.
Sure.
And then GSN brought it back again in 2015. This time, Mike Catherwood is the host. He is the host of the nationally syndicated Loveline radio show, which I am not terribly familiar with. So I don't know that name, but I know Loveline, so I'm sure he's popular in his circles.
Sure.
That version debuted January 16th, 2015. I don't have the full runtime of that one, but we are now back again with a third version on GSN. It began, or I guess was ordered by the network in November of 2020. It premiered on February 22nd of this very year. So clearly someone sees some promise here for it still running. And guess what? Dylan Lane is back as the host.
Who?
Dylan Lane, the original host of the GSN version.
That's a storied career. He's got a second shot. I love
right?
it.
Right? Right? Hey, I mean, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, man. It's better than we're doing right now. Come
right?
on.
I mean, not only what am I hosting, I just canceled the only thing I am hosting. So.
Yeah, we're not allowed to bust any chops here. That's for sure.
I'm definitely not busting any chops. I just thought it was funny that his name is a link, and it's a link to the article you're already reading.
Oh,
it took me a second to like figure it out. I clicked on it. I was like, wait, no, did I just hit refresh? What happened?
Yeah, God.
Anyways, Dylan, I'm sure your career is great.
All right, well, Mike, it's probably that time that we should rate this show. And I have to tell you, you know, I've been thinking about last week. And what did I do last week? Like a 3.5 I did for Truth or Consequences because of the history of that thing. And I feel like I was probably high. I mean, I probably was. But I definitely
you rated high. I thought you meant
I was high, physically high. Yeah, no, I was not physically high. Hell, I may have been, but no, I wasn't.
I mean, that's the only way I can justify a score that high.
Hey, go easy on me. I thought it was probably a high rating, but this week this has got a lot of gameplay. I really like the show a lot, and I assume we're rating it on links.
Yeah, I was gonna say chains, but yeah.
Okay, when, chains
it's
or
the
links.
Same thing, basically.
We'll do chains. I'm gonna give it a 3.25 chains for me. This
wow. All right.
And here's the reason why. I think that I would have liked to have seen the original one last a little longer. I'm upset that it was put in that 12 o'clock time slot and didn't make it, though. That's a rock star cast. I really like, also like you, the little improv game back and forth of the finale they call
The instant reaction?
The instant reaction, and I wish they had kept more of that. It also seems like that they could write better other ways that to do chains in this, and they haven't really utilized it enough. There's so many other ways to link words, and that you could have come up with other ways to play the game, but a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I feel like there's something missing there. And I mean, it's on GSN. It doesn't suck that it's on GSN. I mean, it's obviously not on a major network. Not everybody has GSN.
Right.
But I think that it does have some good exposure, and we need to get Dylan Lane a page on Wikipedia. Besides that, I feel like it's a good show. So 3.25 from you. What do you got?
So I want to clarify to make sure I've compared right. You are saying Truth or Consequences, you are rating higher than Chain Reaction?
Only because I probably should have come down on Truth or Consequences.
Okay.
After it settled in for a week, I feel like 3.5 is probably higher than I should. I should have gone 3 for that at the most, maybe 2.75.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go back and redo it now. I'm just saying I'm rating this one square up and saying that it's 3.25.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going with 3.75.
Okay.
The gameplay absolutely got me. That instant reaction, like, I was into it, especially with how well they were doing. The later GSN versions were really fun too. It felt a little more homogenized, like I said, because they sort of got rid of, I mean, just that bonus round really, but I don't know, it just didn't feel as lively for some reason. I don't know.
Sure.
something about it. But overall, the gameplay here is phenomenal. It is right up my alley. I agree with you that there's more to do with the linking of words. I honestly think they should bring back the word association idea.
I agree.
It makes it a little bit harder. And
When
I read it, I didn't like that idea. And then when I saw it play, I was like, oh, no, okay, I'm kind of cool with this. So I think that's a way to do it. I think that... David Letterman screwed us out of what could have been a classic game show.
Agreed. Agreed. All right. Well, I think that's all the time we've got for this week.
Yes, indeed it is. Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you so much, Christian. Thank you so much, Buzzer Blog. Thank you so much, everyone who listens. And thanks, David Letterman.
Oh, it's terrible. Tune in again next week when we bring you the latest and greatest in the world of game shows, as well as a brand new featured show, too.
And don't forget, we can always be found on social. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, tellthemwhattheywon.com.
Please subscribe, share, like, and drop a review if you like what you heard.
And if you didn't like it, I'm sending David Letterman to your house, and he's going to cancel your life and take over for you.
That's just creepy. And with his beard now, he's really creepy.
Yeah, that's true. That's the last of my David Letterman references. It's not happening anymore.
See you next week, Mike.
Bye, Tom.
You've been listening to America's favorite game show podcast, Tell Them What They've Won, a JTAC audio production, copyright 2021. No part of this podcast may be reproduced by anyone without the express written consent of the creators. For more information or to contact us, please go to tellthemwhatthey'vewon.com.
All right, Tom, what'd you learn this week?
So we talked a lot about David Letterman this week.
Sure did.
I definitely learned that he did a lot for as much for killing TV as he did bolstering it. It seemed like I was unaware that they canceled 3 game shows, but now this is like the third time that we're talking about them.
Yep.
And it's interesting because the show didn't really do well. Now, I'm not going to blame him. I'll blame the producers more than him, because he's obviously a legacy television talent. But I was just unaware that that much had been moved around in his heyday to make room for him.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't really realize that either. And I mean, his show is still, it's the exact same comedy that you get from him on late night. It just wasn't in the right time slot. It did not need to be a daytime show.
Well, I think
that was really the problem.
They figured it out, that's for sure.
Yep, learn the lesson the hard way.
All right, speaking of learning, what did you learn this week?
I miss the USA Network. Now, I know it still exists. It's out there. You can
Yeah, but you're talking about the old USA Network.
I'm talking about like Cartoon Express and the... Yeah. What was that? Like Night Flight, where they'd show like weird old movies?
Yeah,
Like the 80s and early 90s USA Network. Maybe it's nostalgia, and we've talked about how I'm a nostalgia guy. But
sure.
I've also seen that sometimes nostalgia doesn't hold everything together for me. And I miss watching that on my little black and white television in my bedroom.
Copyright 2021, a JTEC Audio Production.